WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
David Cruz for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. People have been lined up outside the Supreme Court since Friday to try and get a seat inside as two landmark same-sex cases are argued before the High Court this week. Tuesday, we'll hear arguments on California's Prop 8 ban on same-sex marriage. And on Wednesday, we'll hear United States versus Windsor about whether the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which prevents people in same-sex marriages from getting federal benefits, violates the Fifth Amendment's guarantee of equal protection under the law. Joining us now is the New York State Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, who is leading a coalition of 14 states urging the Supreme Court to strike down DOMA. Attorney General, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much, David. Good to be here.
So you filed an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, on behalf of the state of New York. Why does DOMA matter to New Yorkers? This is a state where same-sex partners can legally marry, right?
Well, it matters a great deal to New Yorkers. DOMA is a very unusual statute and essentially says to the state of New York, in addition to discriminating against individuals, it discriminates against the states that recognize same-sex marriage, because it says that not only the federal government doesn't have to respect our marriages and provide married couples from New York with all the benefits that every other type of marriage gets, it also says that other states don't necessarily have to respect our marriages. And this is really runs against hundreds of years of jurisprudence in which the United States government, Congress, kept its hands out of domestic relations matters, and that has always traditionally been a matter for the state. So the DOMA case is a fairly straightforward case. It's a matter of overreaching by Congress and overreaching by the federal government into an area that should be committed to the states, as it always has been. We've always had variations in marriages in the United States. There have been states with different rules about consanguinity, whether you could marry your cousin or not, or there have been states with common law marriages. Other states and the federal government have always respected whatever a sovereign state decides is its criteria for marriage. Now, since DOMA in 1996, the first time really in our history, there's been this counter push to try and single out a very, very insular minority, and under our Constitution, those are the folks we're supposed to work hardest to protect, and say, you know, if you have same-sex marriages, we don't care what your view is. We don't care what your voters think. We don't care what the decision-making of New York is. So this is a case not just about discrimination against same-sex couples. This is a case about discrimination against the state of New York and the nine other states in the District of Columbia that do allow same-sex marriage.
You know, I don't know if this takes us off the path, but these are marriages as recognized by individual states, and it's got nothing to do with church recognition of marriage, correct?
That is correct. It's a very, very important point. All we're talking about is civil marriage. This has to do with what goes on in county clerk's offices. It does not have to do with what goes on in any church, mosque, synagogue, or temple. And we have enough experience. Massachusetts has had same-sex marriages for almost a decade. We have enough experience to know that same-sex marriage does not create any problems for religious institutions. There's not been litigation in Massachusetts where any of the predicted problems have appeared. So this only affects civil marriages. In New York, we have hundreds of references in our statute to terms like spouse and marriage having to do with a variety of benefits and rights, whether it has to do with visitation in the hospital or inheritance. And that's all a matter of civil law. None of that has to do with anyone's religious tradition. Religions are free to form marriage and celebrate marriage in whatever way they have beforehand. And we have enough states with enough experience now that we can fairly say to the nation, all of these claims that this would have a bad effect on religion are false. And the second line of attack usually is, it'll have a bad effect on regular traditional marriage, marriages between men and women. And we now know that not to be true. If anything, the trends are increasing in states where they have same-sex marriage. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. And the objective arguments fall away, and all you're left with is naked prejudice. So I'm very confident that we will prevail in the case against the Defense of Marriage Act.
And in Windsor, the plaintiff in the case is Edie Windsor, who was married in Canada in 07 to her partner, Taya Spire, who died 2 years after they were married. What happened to Edie Windsor after Spire died, which led to this case?
Well, the couple, and again, in New York for quite a while, we have recognized gay marriages, even before we had our own marriage equality statute passed, that we would recognize marriages from Canada or marriages from Massachusetts between same-sex couples. So Edie Windsor, a New York resident, tried to get the benefits she was entitled, she should have been entitled to for when her spouse passed away. But the federal government refused to treat them as married and denied Edie Windsor the estate tax exemption available to surviving spouses. So she filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of DOMA, the bill that requires the federal government to ignore same-sex marriages. And this is the case that is now going to the Supreme Court.
So these are federal benefits, and same-sex couples are denied these benefits even if they're legally married in their state. So what, I mean, I guess you said what Ms. Windsor was denied, but what are some of the other benefits that same-sex couples are denied?
Oh, there are hundreds of different areas in which this affects people's lives. There's a lot that relates to the tax code. There are things that relate to military service, as I said, I mentioned before, hospital visitation rights. Having the confidence that a couple can, you're treated less favorably for tax purposes. It has to do with children and laws that relate to children in some states. So it covers a broad range. There are hundreds of marriage is a very fundamental element of the American experiment. The notion, and this is why this DOMA statute is so offensive to a lot of us, that from the beginning of our republic, the bonds between a husband and wife, the notion that the marriage is the basic political unit of our state, has been very strong. We now have laws in every area that use the term spouse or marriage to define who gets what benefits. Almost 20% of the gay couples in America now have kids. So all we're doing with the DOMA statute is singling out this minority with a history of discrimination against them and saying, in spite of the fact that your own states want to confer this benefit on you, the federal government is reaching out and preventing it. And this is something that, without even getting too far into the merits of the case, I think the Supreme Court will strike down. This is just an overreach by the federal government. This is inconsistent with our federalist system, and I think this one will definitely fall. And, we have an argument also coming up on the Prop 8 case, which is a broader challenge to the arguments against marriage equality, and that's much more analogous to Loving v. Virginia, the case that the Supreme Court said states were not allowed to prohibit interracial marriages back in 67. So that the combination of these two cases, I think, is pretty powerful stuff, and I think we're going to see, however the court comes out and whatever procedural vehicles they may use to avoid some of the questions, I think we're going to see progress by the time these decisions are written.
What was the original legal argument for DOMA, which was passed, I guess, in 96?
Yes, it was. The original argument was the arguments really related to the purported benefits that the states had or interest the states had in protecting traditional marriage. And to his credit, President Clinton, who signed the bill, has written that it was a mistake and that it should be repealed. And a lot of the folks that voted for it have since expressed a view that they exercised bad judgment. I think the truth of the matter was that this was done out of fear and done out of prejudice. And what has happened since then, as marriage has become equal in more and more states, and again, as with Edie Windsor, there are Canadian marriages that are being respected by a lot of states in the U.S., it's clear that there's no catastrophe. It's clear that there is no undermining of opposite-sex marriages. It's just something that is a fundamental building block of our country. And the kids are being raised by gay couples should have the same rights, and their families should have the same sense of security and stability that that married couples have had under our laws for years. It was a very misguided statute, and a lot of the folks who were involved with it have repudiated their position. So I think it is time to move on, and I think the Supreme Court is going to recognize that you can't just discriminate against people based on their sexual orientation. You can't, and more centrally, because this really is a case about federalism, you can't discriminate against states that make their own decision about who can be married and who can't be married. I mean, that was a decision that really, really comes back to the Loving decision. People don't realize this, but it was only 1967 when the court said you can't outlaw interracial marriages.
If DOMA is struck down, will immigrant partners be able to become U.S. citizens?
Immigrant in a marriage will be in the same situation as anyone in a marriage. Yes, I mean you get on the path to citizenship. Obviously, yeah. There are a lot of other hurdles and hoops to jump through.
Immigration is a whole other item,
but it really comes down to equality. You see, and this has been an incredible experience for me working on this when I was in the New York State Senate, and now defending. We defended our marriage equality law already, and now working on this case. We see these couples who've been together 30, 40 years and waiting for their chance to actually legally get married in their own state, and now we're just taking the final step to make sure that other states and the federal government respect them, respect their marriage, and respect the laws of the state of New York.
And I guess likewise, if DOMA is struck down, there's going to be whole other discussions about divorce and alimony laws, et cetera, right?
Yeah, well, this is, you take the bitter with the sweet, right, as a famous Supreme Court justice once said. So, yes, same-sex couples will have to deal with the same issues of divorce, alimony, and custody as the rest of us, and that's the right way to handle things in a civil society in which all are supposed to be afforded equal justice under law.
I mean, clearly to you, this is a civil rights issue, that it's about equal protection under the law, and you're obviously not alone. The majority of Americans now think that same-sex marriage should be legal, but what do you say to those people who think this is not a civil rights issue, that it's about marriage as an institution rooted in religion and the definition should not change? What do you say to them?
Well, there is no definition. I mean, this is the point, that everyone is still entitled to their own private beliefs. You can go to your church and they can have their own rules about marriage. It doesn't affect traditional religion. It doesn't affect regular marriages between a man and a woman. In fact, the statistics show that, if anything, it improves the rate of marriage and improves the lives of children because you provide more stability to the community. So there's no factual basis for the argument. This doesn't affect anyone's religion. This doesn't undermine anyone else's marriage. I think people should recognize that this came out of prejudice. This came out of fear. It makes as little sense as the bans on interracial marriage, and I am confident that it's going to fall.
David in Manhattan is with us. David, you've got something to say on this. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. A question. Your guest said civil marriage I'd never heard before. My question is, why is the government in the business of marriage at all? I mean, there's no license for a bris or a communion. Why don't we have a civil union for everybody by the government with no questions asked, black, white, gay, or straight, fair and equal, and let the churches decide who they will and won't marry? I mean, let's take the marriage word out of the government's hands altogether, was my question.
It's an interesting point. Thanks for calling, David. Attorney General, what about that?
Well, that could have been done a long time ago, but it wasn't. And the term marriage and the term spouse are used hundreds of times in different statutes in the New York state law. It's true of other states, and it's true of federal laws and regulations. So we have used the term marriage to define civil marriage, something that is provided through the court system, through the judicial system. You have to have someone who's licensed to perform a marriage in a state, licensed by the state, not authorized by a church. You can have a church wedding, but you still have to have someone licensed by the state to marry you if you want to be treated as married under the laws of New York and the laws of all of the other states. So this is a linguistic choice that was made long ago, and you could go back and try and change every state statute and regulation in every state and local government. That would be pretty unreasonable. So we're just trying to make the term marriage comport with the realities of the day, and treat people who are married and follow all the same procedures with the county clerk's office or with a judge in their jurisdiction who happen to be same-sex couples the same as opposite-sex couples. It's a matter of consistency, and it does not, as I said, affect any religious ceremony, any religious belief. There's no imposition of any kind in any religious organization. And in the years that this has been true in states such as Massachusetts, the prediction there'd be all these lawsuits and problems for religious institutions, they've just been proven false. There have not been lawsuits. They're not religious institutions that are being forced to do things they don't want to do. You know, people just want the right to be treated equally, and marriage is a term that is, since the beginning of the Republic, has been embedded in our civil laws, all just matters of government, not matters of religion. And this is seeking to update the use of that term to make sure all are entitled to equal justice under those laws.
So there are three main ways that the court can rule on this. One, they could strike it down as unconstitutional and married same-sex couples would start receiving those federal benefits. Two, they could rule it constitutional and those couples would continue to not get those benefits. And three, the court could say that they are powerless to decide the case. What would happen then?
Well, I think that the ruling would stand, and same-sex couples would get their benefits. It's interesting. The court has asked for briefing in the DOMA case and in the Prop 8 case on some issues that relate to standing, who has the right to make these arguments. There is an argument that the court doesn't have jurisdiction, is powerless to decide the case. I suspect that in the DOMA case they're going to take jurisdiction and that they're going to strike this down. I think it's a pretty indefensible statute in light of the facts on the ground and the factual record and the American history of the federal government respecting the statute.
I think we lost it. Did we lose the Attorney General there? Well, we can continue to hear from some of you. In the meantime, the number here is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I think we have the Attorney General back. Are you there?
You do.
All right. So who's fighting on the other side? Who filed amicus briefs on behalf of the government?
Well, that's one of the issues that relates to standing. It was this, it's this group called BLAG, which is a bipartisan group in Congress. The Obama administration, interestingly enough, declined to defend the statute. In February 2011, Attorney General Eric Holder stated that the Obama administration was not going to defend the case, and essentially cited our arguments, the arguments of our coalition,
right,
saying we were not going to do it. So this bipartisan legal advisory group of the House of Representatives filed a motion asking to be allowed to intervene. That was not disputed. The Justice Department didn't oppose it. So one of the issues the court may address is whether this group has standing to make this argument, to appear representing the United States.
All right. We are going to be following this all week. Eric Schneiderman is New York State Attorney General. General, thanks for being with us today.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr, the founder of the Princeton Review, on how to ace the SAT. That's coming up next. Stay with us.